Hi, I'm Stacy Whitman, founder of two books and editor of Trail of the Dead by Joseph Bruschak, which is a sequel to the award-winning post-apocalyptic novel Killer of Enemies. Recently, we had students from Grace Church School in New York City come into our office to ask questions of author Joseph Bruschak, who called in from his home in upstate New York.
I'm Eleanor. So I noticed that when it switches to Luther's point of view, the tense is different, and it's also never really announced that the perspective is changing. You can tell based on the writing. So I was just wondering what drove you to do that. Like, there's obviously a reason in the way that you write it, so I'm just curious, what was the thought process behind that?
Well, the thought process was basically trying to get into another character's head. If I am going to be behaving like a sociopath or a person without real human connections or emotions, what would be the way that I would think? How would I express myself? How would I see the world? And that was how it became when I basically, every time I stepped into Luther's head, it was kind of a chilling experience. But the fact that you can tell the difference between the two makes me feel very good, because I think that there's no doubt that Lozen is a very human character, with human failings and human strengths, whereas Luther views himself as above humanity and separate from human beings.
Hi, I'm William Smolsky, and my question is, did Lozen's journey resemble your personal journey, and how did Lozen's journey draw on the Rio history?
Well, I haven't lived through the things that Lozen is still living through, so yeah. It's not my personal journey there. But certainly my personal journey in terms of years spent learning martial arts, years spent learning from elders, hearing stories, learning how to track animals, survive in wilderness, deal with unexpected circumstances, those are all part of my own background. So I suppose I translate that to Lozen, but I would say that she is a person in a very different time under very different circumstances, so I can't say that she's me. I can only say that I have a lot of sympathy and understanding for her because of some similar but not the same things in my own background.
I'm Eleanor again. I actually have a question about one thing you said. You said that Luther is like sociopathic and a human, but when I was reading it, I was almost questioning whether he was human because of some of the things that he did, like when he killed the snake and like drank the venom and like that whole, just some of the things that he did that you saw in the story, he was like completely detached from everything. So I'm curious, did you write it specifically to have it be even more terrifying that he is a human in doing all these things, or as he's like, did he sort of become something past humanity, like so far away from humanity that he's like a new species himself?
That's a great way to put it, and I like the thought behind what you're saying, and I think it may be indeed true that Luther has, if not transcended, then left behind humanity. So to call him a human being is like calling a character such as a vampire or a werewolf a human being. There are human characteristics, but it's gone to a different level of experience and a different relationship. So the humans are seen as prey rather than as people. So it's kind of like humanity 2.0 in a very twisted way.
This is Stacy. I think, though, that it's really interesting because there are real people in real life that end up that way. I think in your history classes, you can probably think of a couple of people who fit that description, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely.
To that, I would imagine Lozen also sort of falls that category in a different way. There's a major part of the book where they talk about PTSD, where the modern people in Iowa didn't have enemy race. They couldn't deal with shell shock and post-traumatic stress disorder. I feel as if Lozen has that from being in this world, but very early on in Luther's life, after his parents are killed, after he is killed, those sort of traumatic experiences sort of push him into that transcendence from humanity. So that was just a note.
I think that's a very good perception. And indeed, I did create Luther as a character who, under different circumstances, if he did things in a different way, might be seen as sympathetic. I mean, he was abused, he was beaten, he was treated as an object, he lost family, he lost his connection to anything like a normal human life. But what he did was to go in the direction of what you might call the darkness. rather than the light.
I also think it's kind of interesting how when Lozen was sort of suffering communication, how that was, they called her sick, and they sort of, like, cleansed her. I thought it was an interesting view on, like, this could very well be, from modern society's view, just, like, she's gone through so much in her life that she's just having trouble processing everything. But they called it, like, a sickness that needed treatment. She needed to be cleansed and to be, like, brought back to herself. So I thought that was a really interesting point.
Well, that is very traditional. Within a number of different Native American cultures, it's believed that if you take the life of another person, that you become spiritually polluted, and that you have to go through some kind of ceremony, or your mind and your body as well, will become sick. And we know that to be true. We see that with people all the time who've gone through the experience of warfare. And in the real world, after World War II, for example, when Navajo men, who were Marines, came back from World War II, they went through what is called the enemy way ceremony, which was a ceremony designed to restore them to balance. And those men who went through the enemy way did not have a lot of the PTSD problems that other men, even other Native American men, had who did not go through any kind of ceremony to restore them and to bring their minds back to the place where they were more normal and more in tune with everyday life and no longer in the mind of war and loss and death.
Hey, Joe, would you mind speaking a little bit more on your Abenaki background and the research that you did in the book to learn more and the differences in Native American cultures?
Sure thing. I would say right from the start that here in North America, with more than 300 different original tribal nations, more than 300 different languages, there's a great deal of diversity from place to place and person to person. So I can't speak as an Abenaki, as an Apache, or as a Navajo, or as a Lakota. But what I have done is to return to elders, to tribal historians, to teachers, and to friends in these various nations I've written about, shown them the things I've written, taught with them, gone through things with them, and sort of been a participant and an observer at the same time. For example, as far as my knowledge of the Chiricahua Nation goes, I spent years and years researching the story of Geronimo and wrote a novel called Geronimo, which is read and commented on and actually praised by a number of Chiricahua people who were actual descendants of Geronimo himself, or of the men in Geronimo's band. So when I've done something like this, there are certain things that are characteristic perhaps of all Native people, like an understanding of our relationship to the natural world and a certain kind of respect for life that is built into our traditional cultures. But then again, that's a human thing too, isn't it? So I always tell people, whatever culture, whatever community we're talking about, there are those who are insiders who know much more than there are those who are outside. And if you're going to write about one of those communities, you really need to get with, listen to, and in fact be critiqued by those who are within the culture if you wish to do an honorable and accurate job.
Joe, I think we've got some students here who have taken creative writing classes or maybe are thinking about being writers. Could you maybe talk about how you got into being a published writer, and also if you have advice for young people who are thinking about maybe a career or writing a book one day?
Mm-hmm. I think I've got a couple of pieces of advice that will work for everybody. One is that read and read a lot. Read widely, and don't just read on the internet. Read books, because you'll find many things that will give you directions and ideas. If you have a writer who's your favorite writer, take a look at the way she writes. Look at the things that she does to make her work effective, and try to see those things that are going on in a book that an insider would notice, like the way the foreshadowing works, the way characters are built, the way repetition is used. The next thing I'd say is that in addition to reading, if you want to be a writer, you have to write. And by that, I mean write a lot. Try to write every day. Keep a journal. Write ideas down. And the third thing, if you want anyone to read what you've written, you've got to do a lot of revision. Revising and rewriting makes writing worth reading. And those are certain basic tips I would give people. My own journey really began with reading and hearing stories told as a child. and then wanting to write about animals. I thought I would be a naturalist, and that was my aim in life until I went to Cornell University and took a couple of creative writing courses and realized that writing poetry and stories that weren't necessarily just about nature was just as rewarding for me. And from that point on, I just sort of never looked back and made writing the career I wanted to follow, even though at times I was earning no money from my writing and really had to earn my living doing other things. And that's the way it is for most writers at the beginning and for a lot of writers throughout their career, that they write because they love it. They might make some money from it, but they're not going to make millions like a few people do.
Thanks, Ben. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Stacey. Thank you all for the great questions, folks. Keep reading.
Thank you. Thank you.